This is the Podvig, a podcast containing reflections and encouragement from Holy Scripture, the saints, their lives, and the hymnody of the Holy Orthodox Church for your Podvig, that is, for your spiritual struggle in the war against the passions. And I am Joel Dunn. Let's get to it. Episode 35, The Problem with the Garments of Leaves. All flesh waxes old as a garment. For the covenant from the beginning is, you shall die the death. Wisdom of Sirach, 14 verse 7. I know I promised that the next episode would be about the garments of skin, but there's so much more symbolic and theological ground to cover in examining the garments of leaves that I decided I should dedicate an entire episode to exploring the insufficiency of those garments. But first, here's a quick recap of last week's episode. After trading life for death and losing their garments of glory, Adam and the woman desperately sought to hold their tripart nature, that is, body, soul, and spirit, together by covering themselves with fig leaves. But as we will see, redemption isn't found in death or in strange garments, but in humility, repentance, and ultimately, in self-sacrifice. By the fall, sin was birthed into the world. Death is the natural result of an unnatural union with anything other than the one who has life in himself. Sin is like a sickness. It spreads as it kills. It doesn't just affect the sinner, but its effects are transmitted to everyone and everything that interacts with the sinner. Remember from the last episode, I noted that there were two main problems with the garments of leaves. First, the garments were taken from a tree that didn't belong to Adam and the woman, as a selfish, external, and inverted sacrifice. And two, the leaves were an insufficient cover for their sin because they were too different from the man and the woman. Problem 1. Death cannot conquer death. As to the first problem, Christian tradition asserts that death cannot cover death. This idea comes directly from Holy Scripture. From the Old Testament, we learn that life for life is the only sacrifice able to cover a mortal sin, Deuteronomy 19:21. This is important. It doesn't require death for death, but life for life, because death, like evil, is a lack of existence. Life, then, is the narrow path to resurrection. Remember that Christ, when he was accused of casting out demons by demonic powers, taught that every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, Luke 11:17. Our Lord is telling us, you can't fight evil with evil. That's just not how atonement works. Because evil is negation. It has no existence in itself. So how can life atone for death? Well, we'll delve deeply into this question in a future episode. But for now, let's recall the words of St. Paul, who tells us in Romans 12:12 that evil is only overcome by good. This is central to the Christian understanding of the fall, man, his redemption, and ultimately, salvation. In the first problem with the garments of leaves, we see that the answer to sin cannot be more sin. Adam and the woman took and killed fig leaves from a tree to hide their physical shame, and by symbolic extension, their spiritual nakedness. Let's pause for a moment to reflect on the dilemma Adam faced. He had just alienated himself from the one who had created him and gave him life. He knew that this meant death, but Adam did not want to die. He did not want to lay down his physical life to atone for or cover over his sin. Instead, he killed something else and used it as a substitute covering for his sin. This was the first sacrifice, but it was an inverted form of sacrifice. The reason Adam sacrificed the leaves for a makeshift covering for himself was because he was afraid of dying. Rather than being offered to God from a loving heart, Adam's sacrifice of leaves was taken from God's garden and used to cover his shame. By taking the leaves, Adam brought physical death into the world, the very thing he was trying to avoid. To add insult to injury, the fig tree didn't even belong to him. God placed Adam in the garden to work it and to guard it, not to own it. He had limited authority over the land, hence his prohibition from consuming the fruit of the tree of knowledge. Instead of devising a workable covering for his sin with the fig leaves, Adam brought physical death into the world. His sins brought a curse on the land. See Genesis 3:17-19. Problem 2. The life of a tree is fundamentally different from the life of a man. There are two aspects to this concept that I think are important here, but both are related to God's law, limiting atonement to the offering of one life for another. See again Deuteronomy 19:21. First, let's briefly explore the notion of physical life and spiritual life. In the Lord of Spirits podcast, in an episode titled Pantheon and Pandemonium 3, Father Stephen DeYoung explains that if you go back to the Hebrew Bible, the word soul just means life. It's nephesh. So when God creates the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, it is the souls that swim in the sea and the souls that fly in the air. And everyone, he says, from Aristotle to St. Gregory Palamas, says that animals and even plants have souls. They just have souls of a different type than human souls. And in the episode, Who Stole the Soul?, Father Stephen explains that physical life is the connection, the union of the soul with the body, and spiritual life is the connection of the soul to God. He also explains that the Hebrew word nephesh was originally used to refer to desires and appetites, which differ between types of souls, that is, plants, animals, and humans. The human soul is special. It's completely unique. Saint Nicodemus of the Holy Mountain describes man as a macrocosmos, because in him, heaven and earth, the seen and the unseen, are uniquely united. St. Gregory the Theologian describes the life of the soul this way. The soul is the breath of God, a substance of heaven mixed with the lowest earth. A light entombed in a cave, yet wholly divine and unquenchable. He spoke, and taking some of the newly minted earth in his immortal hands, made an image into which he imparted some of his own life. He sent his spirit, a beam from the invisible divinity. For animals and humans, physical life has its locus in the blood. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." This is an important verse, because in it, we see that life, not death, makes atonement for the soul of a man. With that in mind, let's consider human life more deeply by looking at the Hebrew language. Aleph is the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. The ancient Hebrew language didn't have a separate numbering system like we do. Their alphabet was used for counting as well. This is called alphabetic numeration. Aleph, being the first number, has a numerical value of 1, and implies the oneness of God. The Hebrew words for the number 1, the word I, and Lord, all begin with Aleph. Adam also begins with Aleph. To form the word Adam, the prefix A, or the Aleph, is added to the root word Dom. The word Adam in ancient Hebrew is a child root that comes from the parent word Dom, which means blood. And the word Adam literally means red. Adam's name then, from a symbolic standpoint, can be understood as one blood. This is how the distorted desires and passions are transferred from generation to generation. St. Ambrose of Milan teaches us that, although through one man's sin death has passed to all men, Him whom we do not refuse to acknowledge as the father of the human race, we cannot refuse to acknowledge as also the author of death. In Adam I fell. In Adam I was cast out of paradise. In Adam I died. How shall God call me back except he find me in Adam? By one man, says St. Paul, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12. Physical life, as we have now seen, is a cover for the spiritual life of man. This cover gives us the ability to create as ones made in the image and likeness of God. Thus, through procreation, we pass on the life that God breathed into Adam from one generation to the next. However, the bloodline of Adam, corrupted as it was, also transmitted corrupted desires and appetites to all. The second aspect, which renders the fig leaves incapable of atoning for Adam's sin, is that they, by nature, are different from Adam. In his law, God shows us that atonement is not limited to one life for another, but the offering of one life for another life of the same nature. In Deuteronomy 22, when God lays out the moral law of Israel, in that chapter, there are various prohibitions against impure mixtures. Deuteronomy 22:9-11 says, "You shall not sow your vineyard with different kinds of seed, lest the yield of the seed which you have sown and the fruit of your vineyard be defiled. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. You shall not wear a garment of different sorts, such as wool and linen mixed together." To explain this, let's hear from St. Gregory of Nyssa. He says, "What does Scripture mean by these riddles? That it is not right for evil and virtue to grow together in the same soul. Nor is it right, dividing one's life between opposites, to reap thorns and grain from the same soul. Nor is it right for the bride of Christ to commit adultery with the enemies of Christ, or to bear light in the womb and beget darkness." The garments of leaves represent an impure mixture of coverings. Fig leaves cover fig trees. They cannot cover a man who has a different nature. They cannot hold man together in the unity of body, soul, and spirit. The physical life of a plant cannot atone for the life of a man, nor even that of an animal, because they have different souls. Therefore, before the expulsion from paradise, God gave Adam different garments, garments of skin. But if the answer to sin isn't death or even the life of a plant, then what is it? Could the garments of skin God gave Adam foreshadow something even more profound? The sacrifice of another? But of what or whom? Join me next episode as we delve into the mystery of the garments of skin and see if it offers a hint towards the ultimate remedy for our sin.
Thanks for listening. You know the drill. Rate, subscribe, share. And for more content, visit thepodvic.com and sign up now. You can receive articles as well as full transcripts from every podcast episode.